Well, I'm looking for where the scripture's passage is. Oh boy, don't ever get old. Here's John's gospel, it's past that. Here's Corinthians, it's past that. I'm looking for Ephesians. Do you think you can find Ephesians in your Bible? I'm struggling. I see Galatians and Ephesians. It's still there. That's good. Oh, by the way, I think these funny-looking things put on my head are to remind me that there may be some people listening out there. So I welcome you, and I'll do my best to dot my T's and cross my I's. No, it's the other way. All right. In Ephesians chapter 2, there's a wonderful passage. And I thought I'd like to share it with you. I see there's a clock before me. Wonderful. I have a clock to remind me again, just like my wife did this morning. I laughed and laughed and laughed. I said, I'm going to have to hang on to the pulpit to preach my sermon. Oh, she said, good, then it'll be short. And she laughed with me because, you know, she meant it. Well, we'll see how long a short sermon can be. This is a startling passage of Scripture. A wonderful passage of Scripture. Just ask that man sitting in the front row. Can you see the front row from way back there? Because this is a passage of Scripture that brought him to the knowledge of God. Knowledge of his saving grace. Look at it. I'm going to try to talk as fast as a 91-year-old man can talk. Oh, I better put my glasses on, or it'll take me forever. I like to look in people's faces. So I'm not going to look through my glasses at you because you'd be all blurry. I want to see if you're getting what I have said. So I look over them just like that. Okay? Wait till you get to be my age. No, don't wait. I'm not going to jump all over the Bible. I'm going to stick to Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll stop when the bong goes off. Here's what Paul tells a church in present-day Turkey. You don't see many churches in present-day Turkey anymore. But there was a lively church. As for you, you were dead. Stop. As for you, you're dead. I remember talking, we met some friends of ours who'd come over from the Philippines as teachers. Let me see, that would be 1970. That's at least 20 years ago, isn't it? Give or take. well, we're not up here to have an arithmetic a lesson. It was a few years ago. And we were sharing this chapter with them. They didn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. Dead? That's what Paul said. As for you, you were dead. Not half dead, not three quarters dead, not 90% dead. Dead. And then he even reinforces it by the next few words. You are dead in your transgressions and sins. I'll give $5 of my hard-earned money to anybody who can tell me the difference between transgression and sin. I thought, what is that? So I went to the dictionary. The dictionary that gives the word, this is a dictionary in case you didn't know. A dictionary, you look for the word and it gives a meaning. So I looked up transgression, and you know what it said? Sin. So I looked up sin, and you know what it said? Transgression. So what do we get here from Paul? You get a double whammy. Do people talk like that anymore? That's the way we talked when we were younger. You understand what a double whammy is? That's when you do, I think his name was Sonny Liston. He's a boxer, if I remember rightly. You hit him in the stomach, and then while he bends over, you hit him with the other hand. And then he falls down on the ground because he got a double whammy. Right? You know what I'm talking about? At least one person knows. Two. Never mind. Yeah. I went to the Greek New Testament because once upon a time, many years ago, my wife and I could read Greek. And I've forgotten almost every word. Every letter of the Greek alphabet, you have to memorize. An M looks like a stick with an upside-down bar on it, etc., etc. I think that's M. But I looked up, looking at the Greek dictionary, and they used two different words. Okay, find out now what they mean. And I looked up the word for transgressions, and it says sin. I looked at the word for sin, and it said transgressions. And then it gives a few other extra meanings. It means missing the mark. Missing the mark? never mind, I was going to give you a little rifle shooting story. But I have a friend who has two granddaughters who shoot bows. No, they don't shoot a bow. They use a bow to shoot an arrow. And one of them is the champion of Alberta. And her sister, I think it's her older sister, is second. How about that? But all the rest in Alberta, in the competition just this week, past week, they missed the mark. That is, they missed the bull. The bullseye. If you ever shot a bow, an arrow, or shot an arrow with a bow, or shot a bullet with a gun, yeah, that's the way it works. If you go to the side, you missed the mark. Now that's the first thing he says here. You're dead in your double whammy transgressions and sins in which you used to live. You used to live. Do you like being reminded of that? I don't. Because I can remember as a kid patting myself. I could reach my back then, patting myself there, because I could count the times on one hand that I swore. I was a pretty good boy, wasn't I? I counted them on one hand. But there's more to sinning, missing the mark, than swearing. You know, I remember reading about, this is an important lesson, story. Remember reading about a man in Wales, who they mine, Wales is a part of Great Britain, right? It's over there somewhere. Which direction? I'm not sure. That down. Yeah, that's right. And he was a coal miner. Now, in this day that I read about him, they used an animal. I don't remember, a pony, a small horse, in case you didn't know what a pony was. used ponies to pull little carts. A cart is a box on wheels, and the wheels were on steel tracks, iron tracks. And they'd fill up the cart deep down in the mine with coal and haul it to the surface. And this miner, because there was a real work movement of God there years ago, he became a Christian. And the poor horse didn't know what to do. His language had changed, that he didn't use all the words that he used to use. I'm not going to use those words because I want to keep those five fingers clean. You got it? He had to change his language so they would understand when to go and when to stop. You are dead in the transgressions and sins in which you used to live. That was your way of life. Ladies, too. I've learned that they, too, are just as dead as the men, just as dead as the boys, just as dead as the girls. Dead. Our two friends, that they became our friends in 1970. When we moved from the north, not that far north, Peace River country, and we moved to Edmonton and lived in an apartment. She came of her own volition. I sent her down, she came of her own volition, that is, to Edmonton. We agreed that she come, because I was busy on the combine on our homestead, and so she found a place for us to live. And guess where she found it? She went right to the edge of town. At the edge of town, there was a dump. Beverly Dump, that's what it was called. Now it's Beverly Golf Course. Get Beverly Park. When you go to play at Beverly Park, you're playing on top of a dump. And that's where she rented what do you call those things? I don't remember. There's 12 places where 12 families could live. You know, you got the picture? And we overlooked the dump. But she knew I liked to be at the edge of town. And today it's a beautiful, beautiful park, beautiful golf course. Less beautiful then. So I forget why I told you that story. What in the world does that have to do? You forget it too. In which you used to live, you when you followed the ways of the world. Isn't that funny? Or no, funny strange, funny peculiar, not funny ha ha ha. You understand me when I say that? Funny ha ha, or funny peculiar? You do. Good. I see. I'm looking over these glasses because I like to look at people's faces when I talk about the Lord. And so all that I have before me is the Bible. I don't have notes. And so I go in this, some people call it bunny trail. Or that bunny trail. You should try following a bunny. I saw a weasel follow a bunny. I was standing still, and here this bunny that means rabbit. So the rabbit, the bunny was hopping around the bushes. It was interesting, and the weasel was behind, hopping and running. Do you know what a weasel is? If you don't know, you better see me after. I'm running. The clock runs so fast. and so the weasel and the bunny would stop. The rabbit would stop. And the weasel would stop. Then the rabbit would run. And the weasel would go. And that was the funniest thing to see a weasel, because the weasel had one thought in mind, just one. And I hope when you go home that you carry one thought, a very, very, very important thought. We haven't got there yet, but we're getting there. Oh, he called it when you used to live. I better keep my finger here because I don't know where I was talking. When you follow the ways of the world. The ways of the world are so different. When you follow Jesus Christ, the ways of the world, you slowly or sometimes quickly forget them. Good, right? Good. I thought I'd hear half of people jump up. What was he saying? Count your many blessings? But we had so much on the go that I didn't blame Rick for not saying any blessings you have to share. I don't blame him. He knew that this short-winded preacher needed more time to speak. You follow the ways of the world. And then it says, ruler of the air, kingdom of air, of the air. The spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You know, we really didn't know how bad we were. At least I didn't. I was exposed to the Bible, exposed to Bible preaching from the age of 7. And I'd gone to a Baptist church about this size in a little town called Acton in just northwest of Toronto, 40 miles. And so I heard the gospel. But I didn't know the gospel. I used to put horse chestnuts in the collection plate. Can you imagine? I used to put horse. You don't know what a horse chestnut is. So a horse chestnut is not the kind of chestnut that you eat. Horses might, but you don't, because the taste is awful. Anyhow, yeah, can you imagine somebody doing that? Well, that's what it says here, that the Spirit is now at work in those who are disobedient. I could tell you a few other things I did too, but I might give some ideas to those who are younger, and maybe do enough of your own without getting ideas from me. Right, Mom, Dad? You don't want me to say that. All of us also lived among them at one time. There's not an exception. Even if you got more, need more than five fingers to count the times you took the Lord's name in vain. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings, oh, these words hurt, cravings of our sinful nature or sinful flesh, and following its desires and thoughts. Ay, 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 ay. Like the rest, we were by nature, get this, objects of wrath. That's what we were. That's how God looked at us. That's how Paul reminds the Ephesians. We were all in the same boat. Objects of wrath. God's wrath. God's wrath. But because of his great love for us, whoa, I'm glad the page is turning. Because they're still our friends that we met 40 years ago now. Or is it 50? I think it's 40. Yeah, 40. No, it's closer to 50. 49, that's close to 50, isn't it? Yeah. They couldn't buy it. They couldn't accept it. We are teachers, they said. We are teaching children the right way, the things of God. This can't mean us. It can't be true. That's what they believe. But that's what the Bible says. Get a shock when you read the Bible sometimes. We were by nature object of wrath, but, oh, I almost missed that but. Does your Bible have but in it? There are lots of versions of the Bible, and most of them are good, but sometimes there's a little change. But if your Bible doesn't have but in it, get a new one. But because of his great love for us, we just finished reading that he was angry, but for his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, mercy is, well, you know, there's justice and there's mercy. And justice is getting what we deserve, because we all deserve it. That's what Paul is saying. But mercy is not getting what we deserve. Got it? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Rich in mercy, he made us alive. Oh, I'm glad we're down here. He made us alive. We were dead. We read that in verse 1. But he made us alive with Christ, even as he made Christ alive. And it says here, even when we were dead. Dead in transgressions. That was one of those big words. Could use sins, It is by grace you have been saved. The method that you have, means, not the means, but the way, the method you've been saved, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I had 5 sins too many. If I had could put up just 1 finger, I still would be too many. Really? It's by grace you have been saved, not will be. Now the meal is awaiting us in 2 minutes. Do you think the meal will get cold in 5? Okay, let's try for 5. Thank you. It's by grace you have been saved. Put that in something or other and keep it there. That is something to be able to say. You have been saved. Now, there's so many Christians think early in their Christian life that I have been saved right up to today. I've made it right with God. But what if I sin tomorrow? Well, let me see the hands of those who don't sin tomorrow. You're not so quick to put up your hand. Not I, too, either. You have been saved, have been saved. When God does a work, he does a work. We can't even keep ourselves. You know what he said? God said, we had it in our Sunday school class this morning. God said about a man who committed adultery after he was a follower of God. He committed adultery. I'm not going to explain what that is. He was a murderer. A murderer! And God said that he was a man after his own heart. Because, why? He has been saved. Paul writes quite a bit about, don't think that gives you a license to sin. It doesn't give us a license. Doesn't even give us a desire. Our desire is to sin less. But you have been saved. I didn't see all of these things when I first became a Christian. I became a Christian when I was 15. That's quite a while ago, too. I became a Christian 3 years after my parents became Christians. I'm not going to tell that because I'm getting just as hungry as you are. God raised us up. Wow, that's a new picture. God raised us up with Christ. Stop there. He raised us up with Christ. Just like he raised Christ, God raised us from being dead as a doorknob. That's a funny way to talk. I don't know if you talk that way or not. Dead as a door, or was a door nail, one or the other. I don't know where that comes from, but dead. He's raised us up with Christ, and get this. He seated us with him in the heavenly realms or kingdom in Christ Jesus. And the way God looks at the person he saved, he did all the saving. The way he looks at us, you, me, as if we're already sitting in the realms of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, as if we're already there. Do you get it? That's a pretty wonderful thing. I think we should begin to think, boy, I better share this with somebody else who needs it. But we're seated there. That's how God looks at it. Even if it takes us 2 days to die, we're already there. In order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. Wow. Not only show, but share. You know, where I live, I delight in the trees that are growing. There's a pine tree. Most of them have died. They were attacked by something, and they died, most of them. But when we built our house, there was a pine tree by it that was that high, 3 feet. And we tried to work around that tree because I didn't want it to destroy it. So I grew up just a few feet away from the house. Well, today it's about 30 feet tall. And the branches are coming out over the deck. Deck, balcony, whatever you want to call it. The branches are coming and reminding me in yesterday's wind that it's still there. And as I look out the window, I couldn't see it was down here. But now it's 25, 30 feet tall. And the branches are coming up and touching the roof, scraping against it, touching the balcony, and even coming up to the windows. I want to take some of it with me when I die. People go when they retire, they go to get a cottage and go by the trout stream or go by the mountains or go by a lake or go where the elk are plentiful and the moose and the deer, and some take pictures and some take bullets. I used to take lots of pictures, and I did take a few bullets, and filled my freezer with the result. And the both were beautiful to see and to eat. We had a couple of Scottish people coming to church who have since gone to glory, and they detested hunters. But they put up with me. Yeah. Somebody's smiling. They put up with me because they knew the Lord and they could just overlook some of my quirks, like killing those beautiful animals. Those are beautiful animals. I see them once in a while when I look out the window. I even put a friend of mine gave me a bale of hay, put it down the ground, and we could see them coming to the bale of hay. Oh, enough about that. But the inexpressible, hey, up there, there's something can't even be described. Don't want to think, don't want imagine it. Inexpressible, now we're coming to the punchline. Verse 8, it is by grace you have been saved. You know what grace is? Gift. That's what grace is. Grace, you didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. I don't understand why I got it. I don't understand. Why? How come me? And he says, and this isn't from yourselves. That is the grace of God, your salvation. It's a gift of God, not of works, not of good works, it means, not by doing this or that, the other thing, so that no one can boast. Once when I was hunting, I wasn't going to tell a hunting story. Once when I was hunting, more than I can stand. Once when I was hunting, I got one of the greatest compliments that that you can imagine. Here I'm walking along a bush trail, a seismic trail, seismic road, and I meet a skidoo. They stop briefly, and some hunters on it, the First Nations people. Boy, I have to think hard to get that word out. Some First Nations people. They must have known me. They called me by name, and they said, "There's some fresh moose tracks back there, where we just came from. You go and follow them. We're going on a trail the other side." You are asking me to push up a moose for you? So I did my best. I said, "How far down?" "Oh, you'll see." "Well, you can't always see." "Oh, I wasn't going to tell you." So I find these moose tracks, and I see they go that way, and I know that the hunters are on the other side. And bang! And do you know what? I presume that's all it took. Good shots. If you're a good shot, it only takes one. Right, Serge? But I didn't get any of the meat. They forgot all about me. So I went farther and got my own moose. Well, it's not by works so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're supposed to do them. We're empowered to do them. But that's why God saved us. How in the world, how can I, the quietest, dumbest, fearful, shyest person in town to 2,000, how can God have made me to do good works? Works which he prepared in advance for us to do. Well, that's as far as we're going. That's an amazing thing. That's an amazing thing. That's what he does with anybody. Anybody, if he did it for me, he can do it for you. With anybody. If you love life, that's what the world loves. Like I am. Looking out my window, looking for birds. There was a pileated woodpecker. You know what a pileated woodpecker is? Biggest woodpecker in North America. Somebody's listening. The magnificent bird. Never mind. But just look back at verse 8. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not from yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works. That's it. That's how it is. That's how a person gets saved. by believing that. And that happened to me at school when I was 15 years old. I was trying to think of the man's name who brought the gospel to me. And all I did was follow his directions. Read John 3:16. That's what I told the scientist that I met on the airplane when he asked me what I did when I worked. I said, "You might not be happy to be sitting beside me." He said, "What were you? Undertaker?" And some of you know what I said. Some of you don't. I said, "No, I was an upper taker." And I said, "My advice to you, do you have a Bible?" "Yes." "My advice to you is to read the first three chapters of John's Gospel. And stop when you get to the end of chapter 3. And then go back to the beginning of chapter 3. That was going to be my sermon this morning. But I decided otherwise. Stop when you get to verse 16, John 3:16. I think I told that to Leonard, that we met or came to know maybe 2 years ago. And he believed it. I simply told him that, and he believed it. He accepted Jesus Christ. He was 67, 65, 7. An old man, right? So this older man was talking to you. He simply believed it and trusted God for his salvation. That's enough. Are you hungry? Let me say goodbye to anybody who's listened out there. Come sometime.